great singing. Be seated, please. Have a few announcements this morning. I want to welcome all the fathers here to Father's Day and our worship at the Main Street Church of Christ. This Saturday, there's a Ladies' Day out and a movie that's going to be the ladies are going to. So if you're interested in that, sign up in the auditorium. I have a letter here I would like to read to you that I wrote to our dear brother Larry Richards this week. Larry Dwayne Richards, dear Larry, our prayers have been answered. You have finally run your course and the law has busted you again. My advice to you would be to memorize Hebrews 12 and wake up to the fact that God's going to kick your rear. I used a different word there. Every time you wallow with the pigs and eat vomit. Larry, you also need to re-examine Luke 16. That prodigal son did not say, I will arise and go to my father's house and continue conniving to smoke coke, hustling God's people, lying to your friend and brothers. You should have known God wouldn't allow you to be successful as a thief and drug addict. Everybody here at Main Street really loves you, and we've been praying day by day for your arrest and incarceration. Your name has been on our bulletin prayer list every Sunday. That option, your arrest, is much better than the alternative of God deciding he can't do any more with you down here and killing you like Kevin. Some people, Larry, can't be saved out here on the streets. But they can be saved in a joint. You're a case in point. You won't lead singing here at Main Street because you have a taste of coke in your mouth. So what happens? Well, sooner or later, you'll lead singing in jail somewhere for him. Your brother loves you even though you used his name again. Yes, he knows all about having another arrest warrant out for him, so you might as well call him. Even though forgiveness is often offered before the malefactor says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, it still shows some class to ask. In a couple of weeks, you can call me at home once. I'll be glad to hear your voice. I look forward to your living at the Austin Street Shelter and coming to Main Street again. Work on getting all the delusions of grandeur out of your mind. You're never going to have a Salt Light ministry or an Isaiah 58 ministry because it's not your first love. You left your flock for your first love, coke. But if you're broke, you could have a great influence here. So don't even think about hustling me again unless you're ready to become a monk like I am. Because he first loved me, I remain sincerely yours in Christ Jesus, Kelly. I love him like a brother, but I meant every word that I said. Tough love sometimes is needed, and that's what we're going to practice around here. So I want you to know when he gets out of jail, it'll be a few years now, he'll be in jail and be locked up. He's just a wonderful guy. Don't none of you give him a penny. Send him to me. If he can dip from you and dip over here and dip over there and dip over here and over there, and if we all give him a dollar, he'll have enough for a rock then. So y'all cut that out. We need to keep him broke and try to save him. He's worth saving. He's worth saving. Of course, God's already forgiven me. You know, we're going to preach this morning, and over the next couple of weeks, about disgrace, shame, guilt, all of those things. Think about the sorriest, rottenest, no good thing that you ever did in your life as we go to the Father in prayer this morning. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out our iniquities. We thank you, Father, so very much for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you for our dear brother Larry Richards, that you've had him arrested and he's now in a place that he can repent. We know beyond any doubt that the shame is caught up with him and he's repented. So we pray for your discipline in his life and in our life. Cast us not from thy presence, Father, but discipline us as a father. Discipline us like we're children. Father, we're so thankful for all the blessings that you've given us, for the 3 hours on radio that we have to all in North Texas every Sunday. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the internet ministry that we have, that we can minister to thousands and that they can hear beautiful a cappella singing. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to feed the poor. Bless us today as we go forward to feed the poor. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. We pray thee in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. David was called a man after God's own heart. David grew up as a young shepherd boy. A man after God's own heart. And there's something about taking care of sheep that gets you real close to God. And David was a mighty man. And he started out killing that giant. He killed that giant, killed that sucker dead, didn't he? Smacked him right in the head with a smooth river rock and killed him. We'll study that sometime, but that's not the subject this morning. Sometimes when men have everything and God gives them everything, they blow it worse. What shame and embarrassment for Larry and, of course, for Kelly. Kelly has shamed God, given the enemies of God an opportunity to blaspheme. I've done all the things that Larry's done, only a lot worse, so I can speak with great experience in this. In 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, this is not your PowerPoints, but David wanted to build a house for God. God said, no, that you're a man of blood. And the children of Israel used to sing that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so David was a mighty man of blood. He whacked a lot of people. A whole lot of people. And so God gave him that beautiful promise that the Christ was going to come through his family in 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. He says, in thy days be fulfilled, and I sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee that shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God gave David all manner of promises. And he overcome the Philistines and won in great battles. And so now we get to the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after the year was expired that the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. David was already sniffing around a little bit, up to no good. He should have been out with the kings. The kings, it was a time that the kings go forth to battle, but David had something else on his own mind there. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Houses had flat roofs in those days that you could go up on the roof. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And he was enraptured by her beauty. Lust overcame him. All the blood drained out of his head. His eyes crossed. And he lost his way. He lost his mind. Of course, that's happened to me. It's happened to me. It can happen to any of us if we get ourselves in the wrong position. If you start looking and peeping at that pornography, before long you'll start acting out. You'll start practicing those things. If you start thinking about wrong things, before long you'll start practicing those things. So this woman was very beautiful to look upon. So he sees a naked woman and he goes crazy. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now that ought to have told David something right there, shouldn't it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. What's wrong with that order? That's a real simple order, isn't it? Men covet things. And the more power God gives us, we're so corrupt and so rotten, and the bigger big shot that we are, the more that we think that we can presume to sin. That I'll just take this little inch here, and I'll just take this little inch here. And I'm really not planning anything. Lord, I'm just going to have her over for a bottle of wine. You know, watch a little movie, smoke a little weed. Man, have her over for a bottle of wine. Not going to be anything to it. And of course, I'm just going to kiss her once is all I'm going to do. And I'm really just going to hug her on her. I'm not going to rub on nothing. I tell you, I'm not. But we know better than that. Can man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? Of course not. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanliness, and she returned into her house. David thinks, boy, this is a secret. Nobody knows nothing about this, man. I just slipped right on in his back door, man, and skated right on out of there. Nobody knows nothing about it. And a woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. The first thing that we think about when our sins begin to slow walk us down, it's just like that we're the hare and the turtle behind us, and we lay down, take a nap, and our sins slow walk us down. First thing we think about is, I got to cover this up. I've got to hide this. I've got to make all kinds of excuses and start to lie and connive and stuff. David sent to Joab, his general, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come into him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Boy, what a sin of steak behind him, you know. Now, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get Uriah to go back to his house, sleep with his wife, where they can tell him, oh, it's your baby, Uriah. And Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said to Uriah, came thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down to thy house? And Uriah said to David, the ark in Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink, to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry thou here also today and tomorrow, and I'll let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. David is a ruthless manipulator. A ruthless manipulator. And at evening, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. What a dirty dealing, backstabbing guy this David was. Sent the death warrant by the man's own hand, knowing that he was honorable and wouldn't open the letter and read it. Sent the death warrant by his own hand. Boy, this is like out of The Godfather, isn't it? I'm going to stop and tell you a story, change the names to protect the guilty. In the 70s, I knew a lot of mafia people, and I knew one. We'll call him Domino's. And he had a son, and old mafia people hated drugs. Old mafia people thought that drugs would be the downfall of the mob, and they wanted nothing to do with drugs. They were into the rackets, into gambling and stuff like that, prostitution, loan sharking, numbers business, and so forth. They didn't want anything to do with drugs. They thought drugs was dirty. And this guy, the mob boss, had a son, and his son got in with a bad guy that was into dope, and the guy took him off to Peru and got him really going on that cocaine. And the mob boss's son flew back to the United States, and the guy in Peru mailed a bunch of cocaine up to him in his name and got him busted. Well, the old man gets busted for gambling and loan sharking. The son's busted. They're in jail the same time. The son's busted for bringing this cocaine in. The guy in Peru, he gets busted down there. They keep him in a penitentiary down there. Then there's some sort of exchange program came about that Peru would send their American citizens up here to do their time in American joints, and we'd send Peruvians down there. So they sent the guy that did the mailing that got the mafia boss's son involved in the drugs, they sent him to Leavenworth too. So we're all at Leavenworth, and there's plenty of dope at Leavenworth. And this guy continued to get the mob boss's son involved in that dope, man. And so I'm coming out, going down the run one day, and I see the old man, and he's down on his knees outside his son's cell. And as I walked up, the old man grabbed my arm. And he really liked me, and I liked him. He's a nice old man. He grabbed my arm, and he said, "Look, Kelly," said, "look what this punk has done to my son." He said, "You think I won't saw his head off?" And there was his son knocked out on the bed. They treated that guy with a smile. They treated him with a smile for years. He ate at the table with them for years. And I'm one of the only people that knows that he's going to get killed, man. He's a dead duck. And so this guy, he gets ready to get out of the penitentiary, and he's bragging to everybody. "Domino's is sending a limousine to pick me up. Gonna be plump full of champagne and dancing girls and a buzzsaw." You know? And the old man later told me, said he sleeps with the fishes. And we all know what that means. David is like that. David is even worse than that. He is a ruthless, utterly ruthless manipulator. I don't think that I could kiss somebody on the cheek and then whack them. I just don't think I could do that. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, verse 17, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Other innocent men died in this deal. It wasn't just Joab that died. Other innocent men died in this deal. And so let's drop down to verse 22. And so the messengers went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And Joab sent the message about all the people dying. And the messenger said to David, "Surely the men prevailed against us and came out to us in the field, and we were upon them into the entering end of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall of thy servant, and some of the king's servants be dead, and the servant and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." And then David said to the messengers, "Thus shall I say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another." What a pious, hypocritical answer. No pity whatsoever for the sword devoureth one as well as another. What a self-righteous, sanctimonious answer. Now over to chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, and one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing save one ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And he grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was to him as a daughter. Don't you know, David? Now, see, this has been months, months, months later. The baby of Uriah's wife, Bathsheba's been born. Don't you know David is wiping his forehead saying, man, Nathan wants to talk about rich man, poor man, and sheep. He don't want to talk about anything that's important like Uriah and Hittite. Now, David had been a prophet of God. He should have known better, just as we should know better, just as Larry Richards should have known better, and just as Kelly should have known better in my life. Rich man had exceedingly many flocks, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and he grew up together with him, with his children, and did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his own bosom, and was to him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flocks, and of his own herd to dress, for the wayfaring man, see, a wayfaring man had to be fed. It was sacramental, much like a religious worship. Any traveler came to you, you had to feed him. He spared to take of the flock for the wayfaring man that was come to him, but took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. It's easy to judge others when I don't look at myself. It's so easy for me to be pious and stuck up when I don't put myself in your shoes, when I don't walk a mile in your shoes. It's so easy to judge people. As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, for he did this thing because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Boy, have you ever been exposed and had the sheets jerked off of you when you thought you was hiding? Been busted red-handed with your hand in the cookie jar? David was busted red-handed. The greatness of David was that he didn't kill the prophet. Every other king in the ancient world would have killed the prophet. They'd have said, take that punk out and chop his head off. Get rid of him. Get him out of here. King didn't have to listen to nobody at all. King was the king. Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. And David saw himself as he really was. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hands of Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given to thee such and such things. God's saying, I'd give you anything. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Dash, like a hyphenated word, is the key. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons on there and plenty of a cappella singing. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? See, when we sin, we do evil in God's sight. In his commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. was true for David too. There's no such thing as being so high of a big shot that you don't have to obey God. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me. There's repercussions for our sins. Brethren, the problems that we have today are because we made bad decisions yesterday. That's the reason for our problems. We made bad decisions yesterday. Therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me. Anytime we don't obey God's law, we despise it. Anytime my children don't obey me and I tell her, do not go off this porch right here. I'm telling you, do not leave this porch. They despise me if they go off that porch. They know better than that. And has taken the wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I'll take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors, and he that shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. God's saying, I'm going to embarrass you openly, for thou didst in secret, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David saying to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin, for thou shalt not die. Howbeit, by this deed thou hast given great occasions to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Every time someone who is supposed to be a good Christian goofs and sins and is busted openly and publicly, God will always bust you openly and publicly. Every time you do that, you give the enemies of the Lord opportunity to blaspheme. They say, oh, Kelly never was a Christian. He was just hustling. He just conniving and conning. He never was a Christian, or he had never done something like that. And he gives the enemies of God great opportunity to blaspheme when we're not faithful. The child also that has been born unto thee shall surely die. So David said, have mercy upon me. And at that very minute, God saw an attitude of heart that he wanted to see from every sinner that ever repented. And he inspired, he put his spirit back on David and inspired him to write the 51st Psalm. So if you'll turn with me now to Psalms 51. In understanding the doctrine of inspiration, Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how did prophecy come? It was men moved and carried along by the Holy Ghost. And of course, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So God put his spirit upon David and inspired him. The Greek there is theopneustos. It means literally God breathed. God breathed the very words out of David now that he wanted to hear from Kelly in 3,000 years when Kelly repents. That he wants to hear from Foy and from Burnett and from all of us when we repent. What kind of attitude does God want for us when we do the dirty deed? In the superscription of this psalm, Psalms were rolled manuscripts. They were a roll. And so it was rolled up in a roll, and on the end of them, they'd take a string and they'd get a little piece of card, like a card, a little piece of papyrus, and they would write on that what that book was about or what that psalm was about. Can you imagine going to a library that's got the Bible in it and it's got 66 rolls there? How would you find the roll that you're looking for? Well, the way that you find it is that you look at the superscription and the little card on the end. And the superscription of this psalm says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Pious Jews today, the Orthodox Jews, said, Uriah had it coming because he disobeyed the king's command and he wouldn't go down to his house. Of course, they're as pious as David tried to be. But David repented. He didn't stay there. He didn't keep that attitude. He didn't keep it at all. He repented. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God. Now, in English, if I tell you go to the store, it means you go to the store. There's what's called you understood. In Hebrew, there's the same thing. And so the psalm begins, have mercy upon me. And what that means is you, God, have mercy upon me. Every time you see a verb without a subject, without a noun, and without a pronoun, the noun and the pronoun needs to be supplied. It means God. Now let's look at this psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God. You have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Period. Ought to be that. You, God, blot out my transgressions. I've been writing here on this manuscript, and I've got a bottle of ink and a quill pen, and I've spilt the bottle of ink, and it's made a big mess on the manuscript. And I need you to get your blotter, God, and clean up this manuscript of my life. Blot out my transgressions. In your book of life, Father, please blot out all my transgressions. Only God can do that. Only God can blot out, totally cover up with the blood of Christ, the rotten deeds that are written there through my life of sin. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me, you wash me, God. We've not been saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Who can wash me? These waters of baptism means nothing, utterly nothing, if God isn't doing the cleansing, God isn't doing the washing, God isn't doing the regeneration. If God isn't involved in this deal, it doesn't mean anything at all. You'd be baptized a million times and it'll never wash one sin away. You wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me. You cleanse me, God. Cleanse me from all of my sins. When you sin, you feel dirty, don't you? You feel dirty. You feel like you hadn't had a bath in a month. You feel dirty and filthy all over. Cleanse me. Who can cleanse me? Only God can cleanse me. I have wallowed with the pigs. I've eaten vomit. Only God can cleanse me. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, and then my sin is ever before me. Yes, self-abasement. David is telling God the truth. I encourage you to tell him the truth. Acknowledge your sin and your transgression. And think about it and Pray to God about it and work it out with him. And then when you do that, then you can forget it because he'll forget it. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. God's the only righteous one in the universe. Who else can we sin against but God? Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. David thought God didn't see. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. To kill a child of God, one of the most wicked things that a human being on earth could do. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Self-abasement. David's just putting himself down. He's telling God, in me dwelleth no good thing. Have mercy on me. Behold, thou desirest truth. Get that in your mind. Behold, thou desirest truth. Not a con job. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts from your heart now. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me, you God, purge me. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop, the high priest took hyssop and dipped it in the blood and went and sprinkled it on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement when he went behind the veil to the mercy seat. And David is telling God, you God, purge me with hyssop. Put the blood of the Lamb on me, God. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, you God, wash me. Oh, who can get the filth off of me but God? Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy, oh God, you. Only you can make me to hear joy and gladness. When you sin, all your joy is going to leave. Won't be happy anymore. Won't be no more dancing in your heart or any of that. All your joy will leave you. And the devil will whisper in your ear every moment, you rotten dog, you. You did the dirty deal, didn't you? He won't let you forget it because he wants you to do it again and again and again and again. And every time you do it, the light goes out a little more. And you can quench the spirit. You can put so much garbage on it that you quench the spirit. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh, what a beautiful sight. A shepherd who has a sheep that continually goes astray, that can't be taught, that's over and over and over again, the shepherd has gone and got him and whacked him in the rear and beat him and run him off to the flock with a staff. Over and over and over again he's done that, and sheep continues to go astray. You know what the shepherd do? He take and break his front legs. He break both of his front legs and tie them up in a splint because it was better that the sheep have broken front legs than him to go off and the wolf get him. And so God does that with his children. God will break your legs. He's beat all the snot out of me. He has whooped me and beat me down. And if all that he's waiting for is me to cry, I'm ready to cry. He's whooped me all I need to be whooped. The bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Oh, they do now rejoice. My bones now rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. You, O God, hide thy face from my sins. And blot out, you, God, blot out my iniquities. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart, guard thy heart, keep thy heart with all diligence. To the Hebrew, the heart was the motion, the intellect, and the mind of people. God's saying, guard your emotions, guard your intellect, guard your mind, guard it. Put a guard on the door. It's just like you need to post a guard on the door so that you don't get a bunch of garbage in. If you put a bunch of garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. Create me a clean heart, O God, and you renew a right spirit within me. A spirit to do nothing but right. Not a spirit to come down and make burritos and feed the poor and lead a few songs, all conniving to get $5 here and $5 there and $5 here and $5 there for the coke man. That's not a right heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, you God. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not, and you God, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The Spirit had been on David before he sinned. The Spirit left David when he sinned. And the Spirit is now back upon David when he repented. And David is saying, oh, don't take your Holy Spirit from me again. Let me keep what you've given me here, your Holy Spirit. Restore unto me, you God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There is joy in salvation. I feel so joyful knowing that he has forgiven me, that all my sins are forgiven and covered. Shalom, hallelujah. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me, you God, uphold me with a free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. See what God wants from every sinner repents? He wants you to go get one of your friends, like Matthew went and got all the publicans and brought them to Jesus. He wants you to go get the publicans and the sinners and the reprobates and all the people like that, and he wants you to bring them to God. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me, you God, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Now in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, Proverbs 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Uh-oh. There's a lot of things that aren't on this list. But these are six things that God hates. So we wouldn't want to be involved in any of this, would we? Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. David was all prideful, all puffed up before he sinned. A lying tongue, God hates lies, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Boy, that's one I've been scared of all my life. You know, there are moral people in this world. There are immoral people in this world. And there are amoral people in this world. And I've known a lot of them. I was an immoral person. And if I'd have been robbing a bank and getting away and the cops chasing me and I'd run over some child and kill some child, well, it would have ruined me. I'd have been a drunk out here up on the bridge. I'd have hated myself all the days of my life for shedding innocent blood. But I've known a lot of people that if they run over a kid getting away from a job or something, they just say, well, the kid's in the wrong place, the wrong time. Like David, the sword devoureth one as well as the other. Proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Somebody's always thinking about wicked stuff, imaginations. Feet that are swift, running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. Isn't that one? You know, you wouldn't think that that little old thing, just sowing discord, would be that high on God's list. But that's right there with them things that God hates. Notice he didn't say common murder there. Didn't say fornication. Didn't say adultery or a lot of bad things. He didn't say on that list. But he hates those things. And one of them is innocent blood. And David is hip to that now. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, innocent blood. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. That's something that's hard to get off yourself, is innocent blood. We had a man here who was a young child, and at 7 years of age, he was playing with a gun, and he gut shot his little brother and killed him. 7 years of age. And that guy, all his life, hated himself and spent most of his life in prison until he came right here to the Main Street Church of Christ and had his sins washed away. And he lived a faithful life. And the last time I saw him out here on the bench. And he said, well, he said, I've worked out something now for my funeral where I'll be cremated and send you the ashes. And I said, well, thank God you won't be buried out there at Peckerwood Hill, will you? And that's what they call the cemetery there in Huntsville. Well, he made it. He's not going to be buried at Peckerwood Hill. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. Only God can open our lips when we've goofed. My mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And in Isaiah chapter 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirits of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. So you need to be contrite. You need to beat your own breast and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, like David did. Verse 17 of Psalms 51. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. David's saying it's just like in my life, like the whole walls of Jerusalem have fallen down. And I need you to build it up again. All the strength, the rock that I stood upon is no longer there. The defensive works that I had round about me are no longer there. I'm open to the attack of all the enemy. Then shall I be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. Then David writes Psalms 32. Turn with me to Psalms 32. Blessed, oh, how blessed, happy is the word. Jesus said, blessed, poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Who could cover my sin but God? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He's not a two-face. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You think you hide your sin? You can't hide your sin. God gave us a conscience for a reason. For day and night the hand was heavy upon me, boy. He set his foot on my neck, man. I'm telling you, day and night the hand was upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Shelah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. In my iniquities I am not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression in the Lord. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Shelah, it means like hallelujah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Notice that. This is what God wants you to pray to him in a time that he may be found. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can make these wrongs right. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus deals with repentance. Deals with it in many places. Luke 13, but especially we're going to look right here in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Begin in verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the teaching of Jonah. And behold, one greater than Jonah is here. Now Jesus said the men of Nineveh did the right thing. When Jonah went there and preached to them, the men of Nineveh repented. So if we want to know what repentance is, we just turn back there to Jonah, don't we? That'll tell us what repentance is. Let's look in Jonah chapter 3, verse 8. But let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, and let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. So what does God want for us to do? He wants us to cry to him in repentance and turn every one of us from our evil way and from the violence that is in our hand. You'll turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is a very, very, very poor translation of the Greek of that verse. In the Greek, in that verse, there are five negatives, two verbal ideas, and one pronoun used twice. If we would translate that properly from Greek to English, that verse would say, no, period, I will never leave thee, period. Not I, period, I will never leave thee. Period. Never cast thee off. God has not cast off Larry. He has not cast off Kelly. Sometimes we leave him, but he never leaves us. It's not that God has left us. It's that we leave him. No, I will never leave thee, not I. I will never, never cast thee off. Have mercy upon us, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Oh, have I learned to sing that. In the darkness, in the hole at Leavenworth, I learned to sing this song. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. That's available to all of us. If you will hear the gospel this morning, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare in you the gospel, that which I preached in you and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if, big word, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't, lest you believe in vain? For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us we believe that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we believe that and add a little faith to it, the Hebrew writer says, without faith it's impossible to please him, then we need to confess Christ as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the Bible talks about repentance, and we've talked about it all morning this morning, haven't we? Repentance. The times of this ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible tells us that we need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. It's a reenactment of the gospel. And just as Paul told Ananias, came and told Paul, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church, the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we're standing soon?
Thank you. Felicia. Stand up, please, face the church. How long have I known you, Felicia? Since you were a baby. Long time you've been coming to this church. You believe with all your heart Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to confess him as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We're going to take you in right over here and baptize you right away. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Dean, we're glad to have you. How many weeks you've been coming here? 4 weeks. We studied the Joel Miller series with you this week. He's a competent 12-step senior and teacher. He's going to be teaching the 12-step program downstairs beginning every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. There'll be lessons that are all gone for the 12-step program. Dean, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Now I want to repent your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus. We're in right over here, brother, and we'll baptize you. Amen. Dean, based on your confession that you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, that you may rise to walk in newness of life and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Based on your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins, that you may rise to walk in newness of life and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.